Today on Maine Calling, innovative ways to feed more Maine people. There are people all over Maine who struggle to get food on the table. And there are people all over Maine thinking creatively about how to best help those neighbors. From community gardens to libraries, people are coming up with innovative ways to get fresh, healthy produce to those who need it. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll learn about a few of those efforts. In Norway, Maine, a commercial kitchen holds a young cooking club. In southern Maine, a new organization buys farm surplus and less-than-perfect vegetables. And Maine farmers markets have relaunched Sunbucks this summer. What's going on in your community? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Across the state, a lot of people are thinking creatively about food insecurity. Today, we're going to hear about some new initiatives to help provide fresh, nutritious food to those in need in Maine. Joining us for the hour, Penny Jordan. She is a fourth-generation farmer and founder and board president of the organization Farms for Food Equity. Rocky Crockett is executive director of the Allen Day Community Garden in Norway. And Jimmy Cesario DiBiase is the executive director of the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets. We invite you to join the conversation. Tell us about what's going on in your community to help people in need of food, or an idea that you have, and maybe our guests can help you get it off the ground. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us today. All three of you are part of these programs that are thinking in new ways about tackling food insecurity, and I want to hear about those programs in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the challenge that we face. Maine has many dedicated people and organizations working to stem food insecurity. We've talked with them many times on Maine Calling over the past decade. But despite their good work, the numbers remain really discouraging. It's estimated that nearly 14% of people in Maine don't always know where their next meal's coming from. Advocates say that, well, there've been cuts in federal nutrition programs, and of course, we all know that with inflation, food's more expensive than ever. But I'm thinking to myself, people are also quite proud, and it's often hard to gauge what the situation is. So I just want to talk to each of you about your perspective of what you're seeing on the ground. And Rocky, I'll start with you. What are you seeing in your region, Norway and the Western Maine Mountains, when it comes to food access and food insecurity?
Jennifer. I think what I'm noticing recently with the more public understanding and awareness that this is really a persistent challenge in Maine is more comfort talking about it openly, that the issue of pride and privacy around families experiencing food insecurity is held with less secrecy, and it actually makes the conversation much easier. So I think people are recognizing that the ways that we perceived low-income families, poverty, what that looks like, or what more affluent families might look like, that the lines are kind of blurring, and that people are recognizing that really any of us are, you know, one medical bill, one divorce, could be ourselves one step away from being in a similar situation. Some of the community members that we're serving.
Jimmy, of course, there are farmers markets all over the state of Maine. What are you hearing from your vendors? What are they telling you this year that may be different than years past?
So, you know, there's been great momentum in the farmers market community. There are now 50 farmers markets that are offering low-income food access programs, SNAP, Maine Harvest Bucks, and also now Maine Senior Farm Share. And in the last year, there's been a lot of headwinds. Our federal funding sources for the Maine Harvest Bucks program has been diminished and is increasingly uncertain on the horizon, which has led us to have to make some unfortunate decisions with the program to reduce the benefit and amount of money we're giving out at markets. And, you know, on the ground, we're encountering a lot of shoppers that are losing their benefits due to work requirements or just other evolving household challenges. Where, you know, every year program requirements change a little bit with Senior Farm Share. Seniors that were eligible last year, just a slight move in income eligibility requirements mean they're not eligible this year. We're seeing that it's hard for everybody right now. It's hard for organizations like mine trying to navigate this changing federal funding landscape. It's hard for our Department of Health and Human Services and the great people that work there in navigating these changes. It's just getting harder to provide these services in a meaningful way and support the communities that are ultimately, all of this work is happening at the individual market level in these communities. But yeah, it's getting harder. Therefore, because of the challenges we're facing with funding and with just policy changes, it's getting harder on the ground for markets to make it work. And feeding
Penny,
their neighbors.
I know that you're really connected with other farmers around the state. What are you hearing from farmers, especially those who sell directly to their customers and are able to have conversations every day?
I would say that what I'm hearing from farmers is that it's been an interesting season so far, but as they talk to their customers, they hear more and more about how the prices that and farmers are having to recover the cost of producing the products, and they're hearing more of how the prices are impacting their customers. I know what we do here at Jordan's Farm is we seek to find ways to either reduce prices for a segment of our customers, recognizing that $11.50 for a quart of strawberries is a bit high. And so more and more we're hearing that the cost of food is more challenging for people.
Yeah, so at the same time that farmers are having to charge more because, well, we know about putting gas in the tractor is costing more and hiring is costing more. At the same time, people are less able to spend that money. I'll stay with you, Penny. The organization that you founded and are super involved in, the new organization is called Farms for Food Equity. I understand this is a way to provide healthy food to Maine people, but also support Maine farmers. Tell us how it works.
Basically, Farms for Food Equity was actually it's modeled after Good Shepherd Food Bank's Mainers Feeding Mainers. Back probably 14, 15 years ago, I worked with Good Shepherd to help create that program. And then in 2020, I was working on a project of ending hunger in Maine by 2030. So basically what I did was take the same model of purchasing products from farmers, and these are still good quality products, purchasing them from farmers and then working with Wayside Food Programs, Purple Streets Food Security Hub, and probably five other pantries to move that product through the charitable food system. And working with Preble Street and Wayside was intentional because they have the greatest reach in Cumberland County for really addressing food insecurity. From the time we started, when we probably year one had like 26,000 pounds of food, in 2025 we moved over 180,000 pounds of fresh Maine vegetables from the 14 farmers that we work with into the food system.
So you're getting food that's you're buying food that maybe has a little bit of blemish on it, or something that a farmer might have more than they can sell, or something like that?
I would say that if you are a farmer who sells direct or wholesale, you normally are, in order to guarantee, to try to have some level of consistency for your customers, you plant more than what you're going to use for your traditional outlets. So we consider those overruns. So we purchase the excess, the overruns, and we also purchase crooked carrots or weird looking green beans or something along those lines. And we also have worked with farms to use product that they may not have used in the past. We worked with two other organizations to create an immigrant greens project, where we purchased kohlrabi leaves, cauliflower leaves, and broccoli leaves, and really transformed those into a green. It's all cooked and frozen to have available for the immigrant refugee communities so that they could feel as though there were some culturally appropriate foods there. So we try to do a lot of different things to get product from the farms to the people who need it.
Great. And Rocky, I want to turn to you. There are a lot of community gardens in Maine. And my understanding is mainly they're places where people can rent a plot and garden themselves. Maybe they have a shady yard, or they live in an apartment, or they just want the community of a community garden. But the Allen Day Community Garden, even though you have plots, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You keep adding projects and initiatives. Tell us what's new there and how you're serving your community.
Yeah, we did start as a typical community garden. We were founded in 2011, and that's really the baseline of what we did, was we offered garden plots and started early on with youth development programs. So really focusing on getting kids in the garden. We're in close proximity to the local high school and elementary school, so that was really a pretty easy fit. So for the first 5 years, it was really garden plots and youth development. And then as we started to get more of a sense of what our food insecure community, the challenges that they were facing, that's when things really started to evolve. And we got involved with, really collaborating with other community organizations more, which helped us to understand our role in the community differently as really a community resource center. So we at that point started adding, we got involved with SNAP Ed cooking classes, other adult cooking classes, getting bringing food to food pantries that we were growing at the garden. And one of the, the first things we realized was that one of the major challenges in accessing local food wasn't actually getting access to the food itself, but knowing how to cook with it. So that really put us in the direction of where we are today, which is we operate a commercial kitchen where we are in full swing with cooking programs. So we have an after-school cooking club. During the summer, our youth leaders are making their own meals every day of the program, which is 4 days a week for a month. That's a program in collaboration with MSAD 17 and Roberts Farm Experiential Learning Center. And then we have farmers coming in to process, using the kitchen space to process value-added foods. And one of the things that I love about sort of the ways that our program is blending now, our programs together are blending, are we've gotten involved with gleaning. So we're able to bring glean food into our kitchen and vo have volunteers process that food into value-added products that then can go into our food pantry.
I'm going to stop you right
And
there. Some people might not know what gleaning is, Rocky. Tell people what gleaning
oh,
is.
yeah, thanks. Gleaning happens for a few reasons, predominantly when farmers may have food that has either been blighted. For example, if there's a hailstorm when a crop is ready for harvest, that may damage the product, or they just have more than they can keep up with, or they've already done sort of a major harvest and there's some leftover in the field that's not really worth the time to go back and pick up. They'll invite volunteer groups to come in and take that food to be able to distribute to food pantries or other purposes.
Yeah.
So
So you're doing gleaning, and I love that you have a commercial kitchen. Are you the only, as far as you know, community garden in the state of Maine with a commercial kitchen?
I don't know. I know there are a few commercial kitchens that are available to the public. I don't know if there are community gardens involved with that. But yeah, that is part of what I love, is that we're sort of like putting all these pieces together, and it feels like only recently are they sort of all starting to make sense working together. And it's really great to see.
And Jimmy, as you mentioned, Maine farmers markets are always trying to be creative about better ways to serve the community. You mentioned Harvest Bucks and Maine Senior Farm Share. I understand, kind of new, but maybe just a resurgence or you've brought back Sunbucks. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so we didn't bring back Sunbucks, just to be clear. For the past few years, Sunbucks, it's a federally funded initiative that the State Department of Health manages. Essentially, what's happening, Jennifer, is about 80,000 children in Maine are receiving in the mail. They're automatically eligible based on other programs that their households might be enrolled in. They're getting an EBT card, quite like what SNAP shoppers receive when they enroll for SNAP to receive SNAP. So they're getting an EBT card, and there's $120 on that EBT card that they can then spend at any SNAP eligible location, including farmers markets. And if they spend it at farmers markets, then the household also gets the benefit of earning the Maine Harvest Bucks bonus bucks as well. Yeah, and so this is an initiative, right? Like a lot of households in Maine, a lot of kids are getting some amount of their daily nutrition at schools. So the Sunbucks is an initiative to help make sure that these kids have some access to food during the summer months when school is out of session.
All right, well, on the line with us now is John Knapp, who is the Director of Library Services for the Thompson Free Library in Dover Fo Foxcroft. John, thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jennifer.
And so most people might think not think of a library as a place to to go to if you're talking about food and hunger, but you all have a new program called Read and Feed, is that right? Tell us about it.
Yep. So we're actually in our third year. So we've been doing it for two years previously, and we're starting up again on July 1st. It originally started, so Dover Foxcroft and Piscataquis County as a whole is a small community. So all the local nonprofits, we kind of work together. And it started with a community-driven strategies grant from Good Shepherd. They came into Piscataquis County and started talking to local organizations about ways that we could work together and really provide real change and real improvements in food access in Piscataquis County. And it kind of in the back of our minds, our youth services librarian, Michelle Fagan, who's really the driving force behind the program, she's just not as big a fan of radio interviews. She's always wanted to do a bookmobile in the community. And so she and I talked, and we were kicking back and forth ideas of how we could help out. And we said, well, you know, we'd love to do a bookmobile. We'd really love to get books out to people. But at the same time, we're seeing a lack of access to food, a lack of transportation to get to the food center located in Dover Foxcroft. So it's really been a great community-driven project with local partners. We work with the Piscataquis Regional Food Center to provide fresh produce from Good Shepherd and also from local farms through Mainers Feeding Mainers. We get food from Ripley Farm, Marpond Farm. We work directly with Leaves and Blooms Greenhouse in Dover and Helios Horsepower Farm in Guilford to get produce directly from them through Mainers Feeding Mainers as well. And we focus on low-income and senior housing in Dover Foxcroft, as well as central locations in outlying towns. So this year we're stopping in Dover, Monson, Guilford, Brownville Junction, Brownville, Milo, and Sebec. It's every Wednesday, starting July 1st and running through the early fall. And it's a lot of work. Michelle and I start loading up the van that we rent from Raoul's Garage in town at 7 a.m., and we're still unloading it after 5 p.m. every Wednesday. So it's tiring, but it's well worth it to see the impact it's had on the community.
Wow. So people come into the bookmobile, can grab books, but also mm-hmm. can grab a bag of produce.
Yep. Yeah. So we have, like I said, we have produce from local farms as well as things sourced from Good Shepherd that are brought to the food center and we pick it up. And then we take book donations. We buy bulk books still in good condition from sites like Book Bundler, things like that. And we have a stamp. We put a stamp inside of it that says, if you love it, keep it. If not, bring it back and maybe someone else will. So we really try. We don't worry so much about getting the books back. They're not barcoded or anything. We just want to get books and get food out into the community in a way that you really can't when you're relying on people to come in from Dover or to Dover, because it's such a big county and so rural and so spread out without, like I said, a lot of good transportation alternatives. If you don't have a car or you don't have a car that can get you reliably into town, your food access is very limited.
Wow. Well, John, thank you so much for calling in. John Knepp, the Director of Library Services for the Thompson Free Library in Dover Foxcroft. We are going to take a quick break. If you'd like to give us a call, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we're talking about innovative ways that people across Maine are working to get fresh food to those in need. Joining me for the hour, Rocky Crockett, the executive director of the Allen Day Community Garden in Norway. Penny Jordan, a fourth-generation farmer and founder and board president of Farms for Food Equity. And Jimmy Cesario DiBiase is the executive director of the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets. We invite you to join the conversation. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Roman Dumorne. He is a chef and Director of Food Programs, Preservation Research and Development with the Preble Street Food Security Hub. Roman, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
I understand that Preble Street's Food Security Hub is about 5 years old, but it's really expanded in its ambition and the kind of work you're doing. Tell us about it. What if we walked in the door, what would we see?
Oh, it's beautiful. We have this really beautiful, spacious kitchen that right now at the moment we're producing about 1,200 meals a day, and we do that 7 days a week. It's just an amazing place to work. We've been doing this for the hub officially opened in October 2025 last year, but it has been going for a while. It's just a place where we are able to produce really, really great, nutritious, and delicious food, and we do it on a daily basis. It's just an amazing place to work.
Oh, so the new kitchen's been open for less than a year. I understand you've developed some innovative ways to cook and preserve food. Tell us about, I don't know if you want to share a recipe, but just share some of the innovations there.
Oh yeah, we use various different methods in preserving food. We dehydrate, we ferment, we vacuum seal and freeze. Just last year, as a matter of fact, we had a pallet of apples, Macintosh apples, come in, and we had a large volunteer group. excuse me, and they peeled and they sliced all these apples, and we have this really beautiful dehydrator that's locally made. And we were able to dehydrate that entire pallet of apples, and we use it in so many things. We made applesauce, we made muffins, we put it in pancakes, we bag it up to send it out to our shelters. We've been doing all of this in a short time. We're just at the beginning, just at the cusp of realizing like how much we can preserve for the community. And yeah, it's really exciting right now.
It sounds like you love your job.
Oh yes, I love it. I love it so much. As one of the directors, along with two other chefs that were also executive chefs at Farm to Table restaurants, we do take great pride in making sure that all the food that we do create here at the Hub is not only nutritious, you know, which is very important, but also delicious, because, you know, everyone should have a delicious, nutritious plate of food, you know what I mean? And that's our goal here.
And is your food from local farms?
Yes, it is. We actually work with Penny Jordan. She's been a really good friend and partner with Pebble Street for many, many years, decades, I believe. We also work with Good Shepherd. And most of the products and produce that we do get are from local farms in the area.
Wow. Well, before we let you go, Penny, you want to say hi?
I have to say that working with Pebble Street for, I think, for probably about 20 years, it's been one of the things that gets me up in the morning. It's a pleasure.
Well, Roman, thank you so much.
For
calling in and telling us about the Food Security Hub and the innovative work that you're doing there. Roman Dumorn, chef and director of Food Programs Preservation, Research and Development with the Pebble Street Food Security Hub. So many calls coming in. I'm going to go to Molly calling from Brunswick. Hi, Molly. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, so I am the executive director here at Growing to Give, which is a grow for donation nonprofit farm, where we donate 100% of what is grown back to the communities across the state. But what kind of makes us unique is that, unlike other food donation models, we rely on surplus or excess products. We actually grow things intentionally and try to provide high quality, fresh organic produce that might otherwise be found at farmers markets or in a CSA. And so for us, it's not just about growing the vegetables, it's also about growing relationships. So, you know, we have a really small staff here, and we rely very heavily on volunteers who put in thousands of hours of work each year. And so that means that we're constantly teaching people how food is grown while also producing food for donation. So at the same time that we're working with the communities that we serve, we are trying to also understand what foods they actually want and what they're going to value. We believe that access isn't just about the quantity. It's also about dignity, culture, choice. And so for us, it's inviting those folks into the conversation to help give them a voice in shaping the system.
Wow. So Molly, Growing to Give is a farm in Brunswick?
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
And how large is the farm? How many people come every summer?
Yep. So we, like I said, we are a small farm. So we actually operate on just under an acre of land. And we have 6 staff here that are here through the summer season. And then we work with over 300 volunteers each season.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for calling and telling us about your project. Let's see. We are going to move on to Hannah calling from Blue Hill. Hi, Hannah. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say that Farm Drop has been taking note of many of the projects that have spoken today, especially Penny Jordan and Farms for Food Equity. And we are replicating a similar model through our Farm Drop online farmers market network that is celebrating 15 years in the state of Maine. And we are, with the help of a USDA SARE grant, going to be developing a model where we go out to farms, measure surplus on farms, and help connect the marketable food from farms with potential markets, with schools and food security organizations. And we also have launched a food for health on our
website, which is amazing because customers actually buy one, donate one. So they pay the wholesale price plus the additional amount needed for us to donate an equivalent amount to local food security organizations. And it's just been a really interesting sort of journey figuring out how to use technology to support the 65 plus farmers around the state of Maine that we work with. And being able to define food security from the perspective of both farm viability and food access. And I've always said, you know, I moved to Maine to work in food systems and started the Maine Gleaning Network and then took over Farm Drop. And we just cannot talk about food security if farmers aren't getting paid for the work that they're doing, which means, you know, helping them to get their top dollar in all the markets possible, and also paying them to help us feed the community members in our areas that need further support than what they're able to get through their own means. So just celebrating Maine today and the 15 years that Farm Drop's been here, and very, very grateful for USDA SARE for the support in developing a program over the next 2 years called Food for Health that will help us reach back to our roots with this food access work and helping to get more food off of farms and into schools and food security organizations. So thank you, Farms for Food Equity, for being such a great inspiration around this work. And Penny Jordan, I'll talk to you soon, I hope. And thanks for this program.
Thanks so much, Hannah. Penny, Jimmy, anything to add?
I just want to say that Hannah Semler is one of the most talented and creative young women, and she has persevered over the last 14 years or whatever, 15. And I think the work that you're doing, Hannah, is just unbelievable. So thank you.
Hannah, thank you so much for calling in. Let's see, we'll go to Meredith calling from Connecticut. Hi, Meredith. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm not from Connecticut. I'm from Brewer, Maine.
Oh, I'm so glad. I don't know why my screen says Connecticut, but that makes more sense. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, I work at Food and Medicine in Brewer, and I'm also on the Community Advisory Board for Maine Public, so I really love this program and public radio. And so as the community organizer at Food and Medicine, or one of the, I help facilitate our collective gardens program, which has 40 collective gardens throughout the Bangor area, primarily at low-income housing complexes, but also sober houses and recovery centers and community spaces. And I just don't think it's enough to give people food. I think it's amazing to give people food, and we absolutely need to address food insecurity in every way possible. But until we're giving people agency, we're not doing enough. And that's why I think the collective gardens program model is so important. Our collective gardens decide what they want to grow, and as neighbors, they grow it together and give it to their neighbors. We're giving people the agency to provide for their neighbors that they might not have otherwise. And like all of the callers said today, or at least in the first few minutes of the show, funding challenges on the federal level persist, and I don't see that stopping any soon. It's important that we practice taking care of ourselves when powerful people are going to abandon us when it gets tough. And so when we allow someone to not only grow a vegetable for themselves, but also grow a few for their neighbors, I think that's just building solidarity that is really hard to replicate with any other medium except food.
Meredith, thanks for your call. And Rocky, what Meredith is saying sounds like how you're thinking up in Norway.
Yeah, I mean, I feel totally aligned with that idea. I think there's not a one-size-fits-all approach with this, which is, I think, part of why we've, you know, ended up with such a proliferation of projects and programs. But yeah, I agree that everything, you know, every approach in this makes sense. There's a lot of different needs out there.
Meredith, thanks for your call. Thank you for calling from Brewer. And we are going to take another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today, we are learning about innovative ways people across Maine are working to get fresh, healthy food to those that need it. My guests, Jimmy Cesario DiBiase with the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets, Rocky Crockett with the Allen Day Community Garden in Norway, and Penny Jordan with the organization Farms for Food Equity. Share your comments and questions. Send an email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or call 1-800-399-3566. We have an email here from Paul. Please refrain from using the euphemism food insecurity. People are either hungry or living in fear, knowing they are not eating healthfully. And Paul, thank you for that. And Jimmy, I want to turn to you because I have to confess, I have a problem with the phrase food insecurity too, but I am told by all the people in your space that that is the proper term. So talk to me about how we talk about hunger.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we can all be hungry any given day. People who are experiencing food insecurity are likely hungry every day for prolonged periods of time. And it comes down to, and this is something I wanted to make sure we talked about, how this is a broader systemic issue and hunger is just a symptom. Food insecurity is a system of a system that is not serving everybody in our community. You know, the United States, among other quote unquote developed nations, is one of, has one of the highest wealth inequities. We're looking at people having to decide between people, right? It's a symptom of poverty. People having, we heard from John talking about how they're delivering food on the bookmobile, which is amazing. There's all of these great initiatives. But if people just had a thriving wage and more affordable healthcare and better infrastructure for transportation, a lot of these issues would be addressed. So I really want to center this idea that, you know, it's really expensive to be poor. Everything costs more. They can't buy in bulk. You know, they have to buy used cars that break down more often. And these initiatives are great. Food and food access is the one thing that is often easier, a lower hanging fruit for people to skip out on a meal, or, you know, they've got the pantry to get their free food so they can pay their rent this month. It's something that's happening across the country. And, you know, in Maine, we've got a big rural state. So transportation tends to be a bigger issue. We have an older population too. And I know that Penny wants to expand on this, but just back to, you know, and we heard from Meredith and Brewer, you know, people growing their own food is amazing. And like giving the resources for people to feed their own communities, culturally significant food, like all of that is in the right direction of where we should be going. And it does start, this is a policy failure, ultimately, is that what I'll leave it at that. And we could change it with passing better policy.
Penny. Go ahead, Penny.
I just want to add on to what Jimmy's talking about, because he nailed it. There's a systemic issue. I think that there's something that many people who don't play in this space haven't heard about, and that's the concept of asset limited and income challenged and employed. A significant number of people in Cumberland County, Androscoggin County, et cetera, they are working. People who go to food pantries, people who are in need of SNAP or food stamps. There are so many people out there who are working two jobs, dual income families, et cetera. I think the narrative that people who are in need of these services relative to food, the narrative that it's people taking advantage of a system, we somehow have to get rid of that narrative, because we have neighbors, just like you had said early on, Jennifer, you have a neighbor who probably is having difficulty purchasing food because they need to repair the brakes on their car.
We'll go to Angela calling from Waldo. Hi, Angela, go ahead.
Hi, yeah. My name is Angela Baglioni. I'm the director of Waldo County Bounty. We are a hunger relief nonprofit based in Waldo County, and we work with matching up resources from farms to food pantries through our gleaning program, as well as our farm-to-pantry program, where we purchase produce directly from farms. That's a partnership with Daybreak Growers Alliance. And we also host 24 give and take sites throughout the county, which are free produce exchange sites where anyone can drop off produce from their farm or garden and anyone can pick it up with, you know, no questions asked, free of charge. You don't have to qualify or meet any kind of requirements. So I'm just excited to hear everybody else that's working in conjunction with us across the county and across the state.
Wow. Well, Angela, thanks so much for calling in and the good work you do. We'll go to Kate calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. So my name is Kate, and I own with my husband, Maggie Mays, in Yarmouth, Maine. And in February of 2025, we started a Quarts of Kindness soup program where customers come into our shop and they purchase a quart of soup and they leave it behind for a neighbor in need. And we take that soup and we donate that to the Yarmouth, Cumberland, and the Falmouth Food Pantry weekly. We donate between 26 and 30 quarts of soup a week. And to date, we are well over 1,600 quarts of soup that have been donated. We also, as part of our program, have it set up so that all our soup is the same price. So if there is anybody food insecure and needs soup and can't wait for the pantry, they can come into Maggie Mays and just say, Maggie sent me, and they can go pick out a quart of soup once a day, as long as we have the reserve here. And it's just been a really wonderful program that the community has got behind, and it's a tangible thing for people to do to help people in need.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for calling and telling us about that program. Kate calling from Maggie Mays in Yarmouth. Another Kate has sent an email. This person says, I'm a South Portland resident. My question is about gleaning. Where can people find volunteer opportunities? Jimmy, I'll turn to you because your organization is statewide. Do you have any ideas where someone might be able to find out where they could help out at a gleaning project?
You know, local food councils are a great resource. There's the Maine Network of Community Food Councils who can help you find it. There's also Harvest for Hunger, which is run by Maine Cooperative Extension. They partner with gleaners, and they're, you know, if you're looking to get involved and if you have an extra row in your garden that you want to grow and donate to a food pantry, Harvest for Hunger can help coordinate on that end. Yeah,
so. I was going to guess the I found over the years that often the answer to the question, no matter what the question is the UMaine Cooperative Extension. So that might be a great place to start, because Kate is indeed emailing from South Portland, but I'm sure people all over the state have the same question. We'll go to Doug, who's calling from Belfast. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Hey, hi. My name is Doug Johnson. I'm the general manager at the Belfast Community Co-op in Belfast, Maine. I wanted to call and just give a shout out to all of the food co-ops in the state and all the work that we have been doing collectively as far as food access goes. SNAP access, EBT access, WIC. We are a WIC store. We were the first food co-op in the state of Maine to be able to accept WIC. So, and this is work that, you know, food co-ops, you know, since we began in the state, you know, we've all been working to try to get food on the table of our residents and really concentrate on the communities that we serve. So, that work is ongoing and improving every day. So, yeah. Cheers to all the food co-ops in the state.
Yeah, Doug, thank you so much for calling in and bringing up that perspective. We'll go to Ed calling from South Portland. Hi, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My comment is that the farmers and the farmers market are providing a service to the community, and I don't agree with towns that are charging the farmers to be at their market. It would be similar to charging the firemen to man the fire station instead of paying them to man the fire station. The farmers have to drive to the market. They have to provide insurance. They have to now pay a fee to stand on, you know, town land to sell wares where, you know, frankly, in my opinion, the farmers should be paid to show up.
Okay. So, Jimmy, this sounds like he's touched on a pretty big issue here.
Hey, if we can figure out how to pay farmers to show up, let me know. You know, we see all different kinds of relationships with municipalities, and, you know, not all markets operate on public land, but I do think there's a real untapped opportunity. You know, the Belfast Farmers Market used to take over a street. And when you go to other places across the country, you definitely see towns doing a lot more to accommodate markets. So I'm right there with you, Ed. And yeah, it's a municipality by municipality thing. And a lot of the markets, you know, they're run by farmers who are volunteers. You know, these markets are cooperatively run and organized by farmers who are volunteers, and they might not even live in that town. So there's just a lot of challenges for them to mobilize and organize. And it's something, you know, the Federation, we think about, and we should probably support them on more. Yeah.
Okay, Ed, thanks for your call. We'll go to Alna and Ryan. Hi, Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the conversation that's going on right now. My name is Brian. My family and I recently purchased Morris Farm in Wiscasset. And a big part of the history of Morris Farm has been the share shed, which, of course, is the food pantry on our property. And we've continued the efforts from so many amazing people that have come before us. And we've got a really innovative way to fill the share shed with really healthy, locally grown food. And I can appreciate tremendously what Ed, the previous caller, just said and how important it is to pay farmers. And that lines really closely with what we have going on. We have an e-commerce business that we've been running for just under a decade now. And we have created a program called The Loop, which essentially is funded by our community online. The community consists of local people here in Maine and people all across the United States. And the money that comes in through this Loop program is then used to pay farmers, local farmers, a premium for their product. And then that product goes directly into the share shed in Wiscasset on our property. And it's distributed out to the community in less than 72 hours. And the reason we call it the Loop is the people that are funding the Loop online are getting discounts on purchases that they make through our e-commerce. And then farmers are getting paid a premium, and then local people are getting healthy, locally grown food. And we've been running this program for a couple months now. We're buying thousands of pounds of locally produced meat, local organic produce, everything from eggs to potatoes, vegetables to beef to pork. And we're trying to work with as many local farms as possible. And I think, again, what Ed said is important, making sure that we're taking care of where the food comes from first is crucial. That's why we pay farmers a premium for their product. And then making sure local people that are either financially insecure or struggling at the moment have access to that locally grown food is crucial. So that's what we got going on at Morris Farm in Wiscasset.
Ryan, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about that. I'm well aware that we're almost out of time, and there are more of you who want to talk about your amazing project. So if I have not been able to get to you, please go to the Maine Calling Facebook page and post information in our comments section. That way everyone can see it. But before we go, Rocky, I want to ask you and the others if we have time, but I'll start with you. Rocky, what's next? It seems as though you're always cooking up ideas up there. What are you hoping to do next up at the Allenday Community Garden?
Yeah, well, our farmers market season is about to start up. We have our first one on Friday, July 3rd. So we'll be running that through July and August on Friday evenings. It's a big party. Everyone's welcome. And just in response to that caller, we do not charge our farmers to be there and really recognize exactly the same thing. It's a huge effort just to show up to the market and be there, and we really see it as a service. And the other exciting thing is we just onboarded a new AmeriCorps Vista service member. So we've got one summer associate with us to help ensure that the food pantry runs smoothly through the summer. And then we're about to onboard another one who will be with us for a full year, who is going to continue to work on all of our strategies as we work on the issues of hunger and food insecurity in our Oxford County.
All right. And Penny, I have a Farms for Food Equity flyer in front of me, and it says in 5 years, you've been able to distribute over 600,000 pounds of produce. Are you continuing to expand, continuing to add farms?
Actually, it's over 800,000. We are not
Adding farms. We are at 14 farms at this point in time. We are an organization that runs with minimal to no overhead. And so what we do is leverage existing infrastructure. So what we hope to do is to be able to move more of the food from the farms that we work with.
Gotcha.
And because there's a lot more there that we could actually move.
Well, thank you all for joining us. That was Penny Jordan, a fourth generation farmer and Farms for Food Equity founder. Also, Rocky Crockett with us for the hour. He's executive director of the Allendale Community Garden in Norway. And Jimmy Cesario DiBiase is the executive director of the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets. Today's sound engineer is Chris Bridges. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Ahn. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to look at Catholicism in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.